Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, September 13th, 2012. Yes, it is another great day to be alive, another great day to be getting ourselves fired up about life and fired up about our futures and fired up about our major definite purposes and fired up about the fact that today we can formulate a plan. Today we can take action. Today we can move forward towards a better future, a better life, more money, more health, more wealth, more wisdom. Folks, I'm excited to be here, and I hope you are as well. Call we do every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, a call which I hope you will make a part of your daily routine. I was talking to a friend of mine, actually, here in Southeast Idaho yesterday. His name is Dee, and he was on this call for quite some time throughout the first probably 6 to 12 months we did the call, and I haven't heard him on the call lately, and I talked to him yesterday, and I said, hey, have you been getting on the call? And he said, you know, Paul, he goes, no, I kind of got a little bit lazy. I'm not getting up as early as I should. But what I am doing is I have a morning routine where every morning I'll go through Think and Grow Rich, and I'll go through the science of getting rich, and I'll repeat my major definite purpose, and I'll go through the self-confidence formula. And that gave my heart some happiness to know that even though he's not getting on the call, he took enough from the call to know how important it is to sculpt and shape his mind and to get his head right on a daily basis. Now, unfortunately, he's missing the mastermind portion of the call, and he is missing out on getting the wisdom, the cumulative wisdom and knowledge that each of you and I, as we're learning together, going forth on a daily basis, he's missing that part. And anyway, I was talking to him yesterday. I said, you know, I can't miss the call because I'm the host of the call. And so even if I wanted to miss it, which I don't think I ever would, I couldn't miss it. And I told him, you know what, though, it because of that fact that I can't miss the call and because I'm forced sort of through my own will, but because I have a lot of people jumping on here expecting to hear something every day, I have to be here. I have to be going through Think and Grow Rich every day. I have to be on the top of my game. And do you know who probably benefits one of the greatest amounts from this call? It's me. It's because I have to be here every day. And I love it. And I am growing so much. But you know what? You can grow as much by making a commitment to be here every day as well. So I hope you'll do that. We're going to jump right into the content of the call yesterday, as we did not get any reading done from Think and Grow Rich yesterday. We are in chapter 3, and we're just jumping into the piece that's right after Dr. Napoleon Hill has introduced to us the self-confidence formula, okay? So we're going to go right into it. Back of this formula is a law of nature which no man has yet been able to explain. It has baffled the scientists of all ages. The psychologists have named this law autosuggestion and let it go at that. The name by which one calls this law is of little importance. The important fact about it is it works for the glory and success of mankind if it is used constructively. On the other hand, if used destructively, it will destroy just as readily. In this statement may be found a very significant truth, namely, that those who go down in defeat and end their lives in poverty, misery, and distress do so because of negative application of the principle of autosuggestion. The cause may be found in the fact that all impulses of thought have a tendency to clothe themselves in their physical equivalent. The subconscious mind, the chemical laboratory in which all thought impulses are combined and made ready for translation into physical reality, makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material we feed it through our thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear, just as readily as it will translate into reality a thought driven by courage or faith. The pages of medical history are rich with illustrations of cases of suggestive suicide. A man may commit suicide through negative suggestion just as effectively as by any other means. In a Midwestern city, a man by the name of Joseph Grant, a bank official, borrowed a large sum of the bank's money without the consent of the directors. He lost the money through gambling. One afternoon, the bank examiner came and began to check the accounts. Grant left the bank, took a room in a local hotel, and when they found him 3 days later, he was lying in bed, wailing and moaning, repeating over and over these words, "My God, this will kill me. I cannot stand the disgrace." In a short time, he was dead. The doctors pronounced the case one of mental suicide. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used, so will the law of autosuggestion lead you to peace and prosperity, or down into the valley of misery, failure, and death, according to your degree of understanding and application of it. If you fill your mind with fear, doubt, and unbelief in your ability to connect with and use the forces of infinite intelligence, the law of autosuggestion will take this spirit of unbelief and use it as a pattern by which your subconscious mind will translate it into its physical equivalent. This statement is as true as the statement that 2 and 2 are 4. Like the wind which carries one ship east and another west, the law of autosuggestion will lift you up or pull you down, according to the way you set your sails of thought. The law of autosuggestion, through which any person may rise to altitudes of achievement which stagger the imagination, is well described in the following verse. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Observe the words which have been emphasized, and you will catch the deep meaning which the poet had in mind. Somewhere in your makeup, perhaps in the cells of your brain, there lies sleeping the seed of achievement, which, if aroused and put into action, would carry you to heights such as you may never have hoped to attain. Just as a master musician may cause the most beautiful strains of music to pour forth from the strings of a violin, so may you arouse the genius which lies asleep in your brain and cause it to drive you upward to whatever goal you may wish to achieve. Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried, until he was well past the age of 40. He was a Mr. Nobody from nowhere until a great experience came into his life, aroused the sleeping genius within his heart and brain, and gave the world one of its really great men. That experience was mixed with the emotions of sorrow and love. It came to him through Ann Rutledge, the only woman whom he ever truly loved. It is a known fact that the emotion of love is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith, and this for the reason that love comes very near to translating one's thought impulses into their spiritual equivalent. During his work of research, the author discovered from the analysis of the life, work, and achievements of hundreds of men of outstanding accomplishment that there was the influence of a woman's love back nearly every one of them. The emotion of love in the human heart and brain creates a favorable field of magnetic attraction, which causes an influx of the higher and finer vibrations which are afloat in the ether. If you wish evidence of the power of faith, study the achievements of men and women who have employed it. At the head of the list comes the Nazarene. Christianity is the greatest single force which influences the minds of men. The basis of Christianity is faith. No matter how many people may have perverted or misinterpreted the meaning of this great force, and no matter how many dogmas and creeds have been created in its name which do not reflect its tenets, the sum and substance of the teachings and the achievements of Christ, which may have been interpreted as miracles, were nothing more nor less than faith. If there are any such phenomena as miracles, they are produced only through the state of mind known as faith. Some teachers of religion and many who call themselves Christians neither understand nor practice faith. Let us consider the power of faith as it is now being demonstrated by a man who is well known to all of civilization, Mahatma Gandhi of India. In this man, the world has one of the most astounding examples known to civilization of the possibilities of faith. Gandhi wields more potential power than any man living at this time, and this despite the fact that he has none of the orthodox tools of power, such as money, battleships, soldiers, and materials of warfare. Gandhi has no money. He has no home. He does not own a suit of clothes, but he does have power. How does he come by that power? He created it out of his understanding of the principle of faith. And through his ability to transplant that faith into the minds of 200 million people, Gandhi has accomplished through the influence of faith that which the strongest military power on earth could not and never will accomplish through soldiers and military equipment. He has accomplished the astounding feat of influencing 200 million minds to coalesce and move in unison as a single mind. What other force on earth except faith could do as much? There will come a day when employees as well as employers will discover the possibilities of faith. That day is dawning. The whole world has had ample opportunity during the recent business depression to witness what the lack of faith will do to business. Surely civilization has produced a sufficient number of intelligent human beings to make use of this great lesson which the depression has taught the world. During this depression, the world had evidence in abundance that widespread fear will paralyze the wills of industry and business. Out of this experience will arise leaders in business and industry who will profit by the example which Gandhi has set for the world, and they will apply to business the same tactics which he has used in building the greatest force, the greatest following known in the history of the world. These leaders will come from the rank and file of the unknown men who now labor in the steel plants, the coal mines, the automobile factories, and in the small towns and cities of America. Business is due for a reform. Make no mistake about this. The methods of the past, based upon economic combinations of force and fear, will be supplanted by the better principles of faith and cooperation. Men who labor will receive more than daily wages. They will receive dividends from the business, the same as those who supply the capital for business. But first, they must give more to their employers and stop this bickering and bargaining by force at the expense of the public. They must earn the right to dividends. Moreover, and this is the most important thing of all, they will be led by leaders who will understand and apply the principles employed by Mahatma Gandhi. Only in this way may leaders get from their followers the spirit of full cooperation, which constitutes power in its highest and most enduring form. This stupendous machine age in which we live and from which we are just emerging has taken the soul out of men. Its leaders have driven men as though they were pieces of cold machinery. They were forced to do so by the employees who have bargained at the expense of all concerned to get and not to give. The watchword of the future will be human happiness and contentment. And when this state of mind shall have been attained, the production will take care of itself more effectively than anything that has ever been accomplished where men did not and could not mix faith and individual interest with their labor. because of the need for faith and cooperation in operating business and industry, it will be both interesting and profitable to analyze an event which provides an excellent understanding of the method by which industrialists and businessmen accumulate great fortunes by giving before they try to get. The event chosen for this illustration dates back to 1900, when the United States Steel Corporation was being formed. As you read the story, keep in mind these fundamental facts and you will understand how ideas have been converted into huge fortunes. I'm going to stop right there. Folks, I love what we've just read. I love the vision that Dr. Napoleon Hill just painted for me and for all of us on this call. I love the fact that he laid out for us that the task we have before us is to develop faith. To develop faith in our major definite purpose, to develop faith in ourselves, to formulate a vision of where we're going and where the people that are following us are going with us, and to develop a rock solid faith where we will have a power to move forward with purpose and decision and firmness of mind. You know, this morning, as I am working on developing faith in my goal and in where I am going, I started thinking about things that need to be done. And I started envisioning myself doing the things that needed to be done and working with the people that I need to work with. And I realized that I wouldn't be thinking about this stuff and I wouldn't be moving forward if I didn't have faith that my major definite purpose was possible. But because I'm starting to develop this faith, everything else falls in line. I see what I need to do. I know the action I need to take. I'm going to start taking that action as I'm moving forward. And all of this comes from faith. Now, do I have all the faith that I'm going to need? No, probably not. And that's why I'm continuing to do my major definite purpose every day. It's why I'm continuing to get on this call and studying Dr. Napoleon Hill, because I want to be got to be careful when I say this. I want to be similar to Gandhi. I want to follow in his footsteps. I want to have a faith that is so powerful and so inspiring that it not only permeates my entire life and my entire business, but that it spills out into all of the lives that ever come into reach of my voice. And then I want it to permeate their lives. And then I want that faith to permeate not just their lives, but I want the faith to spill out into all the lives that they're going to touch. And I believe we can do something like Gandhi did if we can develop faith in ourselves, and if we can learn what faith is, and if we can move forward with action and faith, we can start to do similar things as to what Gandhi did. I mean, think what we can do in our own home-based businesses. If we can have a rock-solid faith in where we're going and where our company is going, if we can have a unified vision, if we can instill belief, this state of mind known as belief and faith all throughout all of the people that we're influencing, if we can have a clear action plan moving forward, what can happen? I mean, look at what Gandhi did. Change the world, really, but influenced hundreds of millions of minds to coalesce in a spirit of faith and harmony, of unity, of purpose. And wow. I mean, what can happen? What can happen if we can learn this faith? But you know what? It starts with each of us. It starts with me getting up in the morning and working on that faith for myself. And before I go to bed, doing the work I need to do to work on that faith for myself. And it starts with you doing what Dr. Napoleon Hill is teaching us to do, and not just doing it, not just being a practitioner like we like to talk about, but actually becoming a master. I want to challenge everyone on the line today. Commit to becoming a master of this stuff. Commit to being a student. How long? For as long as it takes to become a master. Become a professional. Become someone who not just reads this stuff, but who applies it and rereads it and thinks about it and ponders it, so that this information, this truth that Dr. Napoleon Hill has given us in this book that took 20 years of research. And make no mistake about it, folks, if you think that Dr. Napoleon Hill was not influenced by God, infinite intelligence, a greater force, you've totally missed this. You've totally missed the message in this book. I am 100% convinced that Napoleon Hill was influenced by truth. He was influenced by that greater force. Why? Because I've studied some of this stuff. I've applied some of this stuff, and I know it's true. I know there's so much truth in this book. I know there's so much power in this book. So that being said, I'm anxious to hear the discussion of what you have to say about faith, what you have to say about how autosuggestion has built faith in you, and maybe what you believe we can do collectively together through this incredible, mysterious, universal power we call faith.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Paul.
Hey, Melvin, I think John beat you there.
He did.
Hey, you know what? First of all, I just want to say a happy and fantastic good morning to all of the practitioners out there who take the daily discipline to be on this call, because really that is what it boils down to. It is, in fact, a daily discipline, but like most disciplines that we develop within our life, there is massive profit in it. I know that for myself on a personal basis, this call is, quite frankly, it is the number one training, mindset development portion of my business, and it teaches so much more than we could possibly ever want or hope to gain from any one source. You know, the mastermind principle is just amazingly effective, especially when you do the homework what you were supposed to do. One of the things that really caught my ear in today's reading is the true power. The true power is the power of will, the power of influence, what Gandhi had. Gandhi was a guy, quite frankly, who had nothing and yet was able to build a consensus, was able to build a movement. And that is exactly what you are doing. When you are in the process of building your home-based business, when you're building your network marketing team, people will follow people. People follow those who inspire them. People follow those who have a vision. I have a very good friend by the name of David. He is probably the epitome of that statement. His vision is so large that and one of the things that I learned from him is that when you are casting a vision, your vision has to be large enough to encompass others, to encompass other people. If your personal vision is that you just want to earn $500 a month in your home-based business, while you may think that you're being conservative, what you're actually doing is you are shutting down the walls. You are shutting down the windows of prosperity, because if you're trying to recruit me on a personal basis and my vision is I want to make $1,000 or I want to make $5,000, you know, how does your vision encompass mine? Where in your vision do you have room for mine? So is it the fact that you are trying to throw out pie in the sky numbers? Yeah, I want to make $50,000 a month in my business, when in fact you've never made $500. No, that's not the case. But you do want to be able to stretch your vision to encompass the dreams, hopes, and aspirations of other people. What you will see happening time and time again is that there are people that are going through the steps, they're writing the articles, they're putting the YouTube videos out there, they're doing the daily Facebook postings, but because they are doing so, and they lack the vision, they lack the conviction, the energy that they put out is very, very different. When you go all in, quote-unquote, in your business and in your life, it will attract a very similar mindset. You know, when it comes down to it, each and every one of us are light beings, are beings made out of energy. And when you are putting forth the type of energy that is prosperity focused, abundance based, that is the type of energy, that is the type of person that you will attract in your life. You will attract who you are as a leader. So it's up to you on a personal basis to make sure that you're taking the daily disciplines, aka being on this call, developing yourself, developing your personal mindset, so that you attract like people, because those attract like people will in turn grow your income, grow your personal development, and in fact, grow your life. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, John. Very, very, very wise things you just shared with us, and I was reminded by the line from the Bible, where there is no vision, the people perish. Melvin, go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Yeah, I like what he said about vision for all, because it does have to be all-inclusive. And one of the things that I was going to say about faith in itself is not necessarily a good thing. It could be used for good, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. The same way that Magandhi had the faith that he had and did the kind of leading he did, Hitler had the faith that he had and did the kind of leading he did. So love definitely has to come into play there. So that's why love itself is the most powerful of all. And what he was just saying about vision for all, when it includes everyone, it's back to the saying of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want to treat people the way you want to be treated. You want the best for everyone. That kind of thinking, that kind of clear thinking, that kind of understanding can enable us to use faith properly. So what we have faith in is something that's going to enrich our lives and the lives of others, rather than a faith in something that could be destructive. The one thing I wanted to mention too, Paul, was what you were talking about this morning in terms of the subconscious mind. We need to get ourselves sold. Each of us need to get ourselves sold on the power of the subconscious mind and how it works. And then we could use it to take our lives to greatness, because this is something that is definitely at work at all times, and to understand it and use it properly, we got it made. And the job is to go to work on ourselves, and back to mind your own business. If we get on with that and master these things, and the other comments you made, by becoming practitioners, by actually practicing and using this. I don't know how many people on this call are about what I'm going to say, but I've been into so many groups and worked with so many people and different things where these principles and concepts were being taught, or people claim to be believing in them, but your actions speak louder than your words. And the way you can judge yourself and every single person is by what we do. What we do says what we're about, not what we say. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Wow. We need to get ourselves sold on the power of the subconscious mind. You made that statement. And that may take a little bit of work for us. We may need to do a little bit of reading on the subconscious mind, because if we haven't, sometimes we hear things like that and think that, well, that's just hocus pocus stuff. But we've got to go through the reading. We've got to study it. And when you do, you will become sold on it, because you'll see that it is a reality that's working for or against us at all times. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friends. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Rick, Mr. Martin, I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm doing fantastic. When I listen to this call, my blood just boils. I mean, when I listen to this information, and it's that gut feeling you get, that feeling, you know, believing, the self-confidence is so important. Believing in yourself. The faith is believing in the unseen before it comes to the scene. It is so important. You got to have that self-confidence. That's why seeing is believing. You know, you're feeling something, well, you don't know, you're doubting yourself. It's the eraser. You know, you look at another person, you look at you on this call, and if you're a member of Paul's team and you're directly associated with Paul, then you can see the action. Visualize, see it. Everybody learn in different ways. You know, some people on this call, because they're auditory, are going to learn more than others. Some people like to see it because they learn 85% of their learning comes through seeing things that are happening. Just like everybody have their own learning ability. And see, when you see something, look at Paul, that's happening. If you're on your team, you can see it. So you can get that energy. He transmutes that feeling into you and onto you. So you can say, well, man, I've seen Paul do it. Maybe I can do it myself. You know, these are the things that while you get around the association, associating with people, it's going to rub off on you. Associating this call is going to rub off on you. The repetition and being around it, hearing it over and over, it's going to get you. It's going to get you. You cannot say on one end that to say something to your kid like, don't hang out with bad company, and not believe that if you don't hang out with this, it's not going to rub off on you. It cannot. It's not congruent. You see? So you can use little things like that in your life to match and say, yeah, but this is the reason why we don't have kids hanging out with bad company, because they're going to become bad. It's just, it's the same way. Why wouldn't anybody believe this? You have to believe in the unseen before it comes to the seen. That self-fulfilling prophecy on an individual basis. We cannot, on this call, change that for you. You have to believe in yourself. What you say to yourself every day is a warp in the roof. It is what you say to yourself every day. And it's kind of interesting, because if you lack faith, you lack faith in your creator. It's an incredible thought when you think about it. You know, I want to really say, I'm going to end with this. Think of it, your life, as a bank account. You cannot withdraw what you did not deposit. And if you keep withdrawing from something that you didn't deposit, or call it borrowing, you're always going to be in the hole, and you're going to have a miserable life, if I can put it that way. Do you understand? You have to give more than you are receiving. You have to just think about it that way. If I'm not making deposits, I cannot make withdrawals. Right back to you, Paul. Have a fantastic day, a day full of opulence. Thank you,
Rick,
very much.
Rick, you have a fantastic day, a day full of opulence as well. Thank you for your enthusiasm and excitement about life, man. Love it. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul?
Yes.
Hi, this is Deborah Palmer in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Hi, Deborah. Great to hear
you
this morning. Good, good. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to jump on. Last Sunday, I was asked to teach a lesson in church, and the topic was on faith. And, you know, the lesson manual that I was to prepare from almost every paragraph said it was through faith. And then it would give this beautiful faith-promoting story. And it was a good lesson. But as I prepared, I thought, how do these women that I'm teaching move forward if they don't have an understanding of how faith works? And so we broke it down. And it's not my usual teaching style. I started with a great big beautifully wrapped box on the table. And we discussed how faith is a gift. And then I opened the box. We unwrapped the gift. And out came my husband's very fancy, battery-operated circular saw. And, you know, then it gets you in the mind of, okay, this is a power tool. How do I use it? It's complicated. I'm not sure I know as a woman. I mean, you men, you know, you have your own realm and they're wonderful. But as a woman, you're a little intimidated by this really sophisticated tool. And so we broke it down. And on the board, we put the left side, we put what has to be present for faith to work. And on the right side of the board, we put what cannot be present for faith to work. And I was only able to do this because of the studies that I have participated on this call with you. So while I couldn't use Think and Grow Rich as my material, the inspiration that I have received on a daily basis by being here enabled me to share with 25 or 30 women the principles that put faith into action. So I just want you to know, Paul, it's working. We are spreading the message. It is going throughout the world, and I know it's working because, you know, I have attended a lot of classes, and they're really great. You walk away on Sunday, and you feel uplifted, and by Wednesday, you've completely forgotten what we talked about. And yesterday, I was meeting with a woman who participated in that class with me, and she said, "Holy cow, I was blown away." She still remembered, it was still working in her mind, the principles we had discussed. And she says, "You're going to substitute for me the next time I have to teach a lesson." Anyway, back to you, Paul.
Deborah, wow, I love that story. I love it, I love it. Good for you. Holy smokes, that's so exciting. Wow, appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? And let me just make a comment real quick too, on what Deborah said. I think that never let us make the mistake in assuming that a person or a group of people has all the truth that they need. Never let us make that mistake. We as individuals are seekers and finders of truth. And we, regardless of the person we're influencing or the group we're amongst, have the ability to bring something to them that they may not have. And Deborah, that story you just shared was a perfect example of that. I applaud you. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. This is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm pretty excited today because this is the secret that a lot of people have been talking about. Somebody wrote a book back in 2006 or 2007, and Oprah Winfrey, was telling everybody you got to read this book, and this book is about everything. Well, this is what the book is about. It's about the secret, and we have been plying the trades of the secret for months now. You much longer. Since you started this group, and the people that get on here are learning it, and it's contagious for them, because they talk about this secret, they talk about the principle of autosuggestion to others, and they try to get them on this phone call, and this phone call is really a movement that you have created here, Paul, and it's a movement that just allows people to express themselves and allows people to implement these teachings in their lives. And that's why it's changing so many lives, because then they tell a couple of friends, and those people get on there, and they have their lives change, and they'll tell a few more. And that's how it becomes a movement. That's exactly what Gandhi did. He created a movement of like-minded people, because he talked about exactly what his thinking was about and his principles, and how they should have freedom to be able to have their own salt and not be taxed for it so much that it's just impossible for anybody else to acquire it. I mean, that's such a simple thing, and yet it was so powerful, and it became a peace movement that is talked about through today, you know, that people have found so much freedom from that. And that's exactly what we're talking about here today, is a movement that allows people to find the freedom and find the knowledge about different things, and knowledge about faith, which is so it's no wonder that it remained a secret for centuries, because faith, autosuggestion, these things, although people practice it, they didn't talk about it as openly as they do today. And we are here talking about it openly. We're bringing another layer to the game, because we talk about it on the internet, on the telephone, mass communications that we're doing here, and it's going to benefit the whole earth. So it's funny that each of us as individuals, we might feel like, wow, you know, we're really just one person. There's no way we could affect everybody. Well, that's not true. We could get on this phone call and affect many people. And we don't know how it affects many people, but all we know is that the result is that a lot of people are being attracted to this phone call, and they're getting on this phone call, and they're learning these new things in their life. And they're passing it on, too. So it's a fantastic thing that we're involved in here, and I love it. Thank you very much, Paul. Back to you.
Frank, I love it, too. I really appreciate your description of what we're doing. And just want to let you know I appreciate you, Frank. I enjoy hearing you. You have a gift for communication, and you are on the road to doing big things in this industry, my friend. Keep up the good work. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi there. Let's see. I think that was Usha first, and then yes. Melody. Is that right? Go ahead, Usha.
Yeah. I liked Frank's comment, you know, because he was talking about how Gandhi went through the salt movement for freedom. And that's exactly what it was. You know, Gandhi had a greater cause and so required a greater sacrifice on his part, and we're not talking about the sacrifices he made. Faith has a lot to do with it, because there is that saying, what with faith you can move mountains. So definitely Gandhi had that, and he had a very positive mind. His spiritual practices included singing bhajans, chanting the mantras of Hari Ram, Hera, you know, Ram Ram, you know, things like that. And also he sacrificed a lot. So Gandhi got people to act toward one goal of self-reliance and freedom for India. And his goal was very large, and he sacrificed himself toward that goal. And he did a lot of mantra chanting to be positive. And so it's very essential to be positive. Even Hitler achieved the big goal, but his was destructive. And that's what distinguishes men, you know, their actions, the results of their actions is what distinguishes them from each other. So here we had Gandhi, who got a positive result. He got freedom for the country. And here we have Hitler, who also got some results out of his faith. But his faith was so negative that he destroyed so many people. So that's and that's why somebody made a comment here that with faith you can do good and bad. So, and it is the actions that distinguishes a person. And yeah, basically that's what I wanted to say, but I could write a whole essay on this. But, you know, and the other thing is that as entrepreneurs, we are also paying a price for our freedom, financial freedom. And that is the way we work hard and the way we are working on ourselves, trying to get a broader picture, trying to help more people than just ourselves. So it requires having a vision, a greater vision for the results that you're getting that will benefit the humanity at large. How and that's the reason why day one is a very attractive business, because it's showing you to look at yourself beyond yourself, you know. It's encouraging charity. So that's the beauty of that. Although, you know, everybody can do it with any business, but day one is emphasizing on doing it. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, Usha, I really appreciate those comments. You're from India, correct?
Yeah.
Wow. How fascinating that we're having a mastermind discussion with Gandhi as a topic, and we have someone with your background from India to shed some insight on that. I love that. And I love how you pointed out that Gandhi had a major definite purpose, the freedom, self-reliance, and freedom for India. Hitler had a major definite purpose, negative, right? I love how you pointed out that Gandhi engaged in singing and chanting mantras. Auto-suggestion, right? Is that not another form of auto-suggestion to build faith? Melody, come on out. And I do want to just remind everyone, please, let's try to avoid using any company names on the call, as we have a lot of people from different companies. Appreciate that. Star 6, Melody, come on out.
Wow, try and follow up after Usha here. One of my passions is studying and breaking down the meaning of words, and one of our scriptures here is that faith is a substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. And this word substance in the Webster, it's essence. It's, as Rick would say, in quality of character. It's solid. It's material. It's possessions, which means wealth. Faith is one of the names of Jesus Christ, and he had this character and essence. And as Melvin said, love is most powerful of all. And as we discussed yesterday in Isaiah, he died on the cross. And this has already happened. And those that accept it is healing, prosperity, deliverance, rescue, safety, and total well-being now in this lifetime, as well as that to come. So faith is this, is what it, this essence, this quality of character, and as I just stated in salvation, that we expect. For us, expect means we earnestly expect it. It's not hope like the world we wish. No, we expect our prosperity before we see it. And also, Magandhi would have been a Christian, but religious Christians, because he was black or dark of color, rejected him. And man, that was a huge mistake. Thank you, and back to you, Paul.
Melody, thank you for that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Neville!
How are you?
Good! I missed you.
I missed you, too. The past couple of days, I got tired of even my cell phone. I'm switching companies, and I had trouble with my cell phone. I was on the road, and I couldn't even listen. You know, let me take this time on before we even start this morning. You just speak about a young lady from India, and we're talking about Gandhi. I won't call the young man's name, but we spoke about William Wallace the other morning. Would you believe that on this call, you have a direct descendant to William Wallace on your call each and every day? So that's the person who brought me to this call, too. So it is fascinating that, you know, where history is tying things together, and we are able to see where truth lies, you know, where integrity comes from with Wallace, where Gandhi, with his belief that all should be free and that we should love one another. And this is about faith this morning and the subconscious mind. Now, Dr. Napoleon said, faith is an eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Think about it. Faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Thought is just an impulse. It's there and it's gone. But your faith is what brings it to life and gives it the power it needs and taking action to make it come true. Now, the Bible tells us, and that this is my thing, and when I read it this way to myself. No faith is being sure of what I hope for. I believe in my heart and in everything that I see it, it is mine, and I have achieved it. And the Bible tells us that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Think about that. We are looking in our imagination, and which is part of our subconscious mind, and we are actually visualizing that what I am hope for, I have it, even though I don't see it. And that's where faith, comes together. And someone spoke about it earlier, and we spoke about love. And I told you sometime in the part that I greet every day with love, because it's an unseen power. It's God. It's an unseen power that can open the hearts of men. And that's what Gandhi used, that unseen power of love, that you emanate love from within you, you're emanating God. And what's more powerful than God? And people can call it whatever name they call it. I will call it God. And just to step a little bit further, prior to this, Dr. Hill stated earlier that someone spoke about that. Someone asking for 500, I think it was John from Maryland, asking for a small amount. And you go into business and you're looking for a small amount. When you look to life and when you look to bargain for life, you should look to bargain for the utmost, because you want to go to the top. Not only do you want to get to the top and be awesomely, in this case, wealthy, but you want to bring people with you and make them awesomely wealthy also, because you want to have more than enough. You want to have an abundance. And that's what faith does to you, bring you an abundance. Dr. Hill went on to say that someone wrote a poem, and he said, I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged that evening when I counted my scanty store. So, in fact, it depends on where you are in your mind or in your life when you begin to ask for things. And sometimes, because we are in a down portion of our lives, we do not tend to look to the hugeness of what life can be. And that's where our shortcoming in faith comes from. And sometimes when I look back on something I got to read, because I never read Think and Grow Rich that much. But like I said, I'm going to internalize it, and I'm going to try to use as much of it as I can as I go forward. Because in the self-confidence form, it says, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and here and now promise to render such action. And the Bible tells you, faith without works, action is dead, which means you have no faith. Back to you, Paul. May you all have a marvelous day, and prosperity be yours.
Neville, you are a very wise man, and I'm so glad you're back with us. Thank you for those powerful, powerful thoughts, my friend. And you reminded me, when you were talking about faith, how it's the eternal elixir, it seems to me that Dr. Napoleon Hill actually called it a chemical in there too. So it's like faith is an actual substance. Fascinating stuff. Star 6, who's next?
Oh, it's Doc Fran. Good morning.
Hey, Doc.
What an amazing discussion this morning. And starting right from John Chapman's comments and very wise counsel. And, you know, I was listening to each person pick up on the thread and continue it forward. and I was struck by how we were describing, you know, the whole subject started out talking about autosuggestion and how autosuggestion can be both positive or negative. And I had an experience yesterday that was quite interesting. You know, many of us have talked on the phone about not listening to the news. And at various points in our lives, we became aware of or conscious of the fact that the news is largely negative and creates negative feelings and lower tone emotions. So we eliminate the news. And I took my mother to lunch, and we were sitting in this little restaurant, and they had a big screen TV on with CNN News the whole time. And it was, it became hypnotic. You could not take your eyes off of this endless progression of bad news. And at the end of that 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes that we were there, I was actually low tone. and it was kind of interesting to realize how much the news affects us. And so that became, you know, that became part of the auto-suggestion. Maybe that's the way it is. You know, God, there is a lot of stuff in this world that drives us down tone. But then when you listen to John Chapman talk about vision, and really what we're describing with all of the individuals, when we talk about Gandhi, when we talk about Nelson Mandela, when we talk about any of the great leaders in the world, we're talking exactly about that, leadership. And you're only recognized as a leader when you have a vision that does, in fact, exceed the visions of the individuals who hear yours. And when you incorporate and encompass their visions within the scope of your vision, then you become a dominant leader. And what is really exciting is that this works because when a person allows themselves to be influenced by another as their leader, that becomes the mechanism by which they then use their own auto-suggestion to make your vision their vision, to make your leadership their leadership, to make your ideas their ideas. And that's the mechanism through which Gandhi accomplished what is probably the greatest single example of an individual influencing the largest number of people into a common idea. And he influenced not only the indigent of India, but his vision became a vision that was accepted even by the intelligentsia, the ruling parties, the British, etc. And that's why he accomplished this remarkable peaceful transition in the transfer of government there. So then we go back, and many people have talked about, Melvin brought it up, perfect talk. What is the motivation or what is the intention behind the vision that you have and the leadership you offer? And when that intention is motivated by love, that is when the greatest good occurs. And that was the beauty of Gandhi. He did not despise or look down on the British. He actually loved everyone. And he took his vision and allowed it to expand so that it harmonized and resonated with the essential truth and the love that is in everyone's spirit. So it's a powerful, exciting reality. And when we apply it to our businesses, that's what allows leaders to arise. That's what allows companies to move forward. That's what's going to allow each and every one of us on this phone to reach our major definite purpose in our companies if we constantly allow ourselves to stay focused on that, keep our vision at that highest level, keep our intention at that highest level, and it truly is the reality that when you take that amazing power that people give to you and you constantly give back more than you try to take out of the system, you will live that dream, that ideal, that if you help enough people get what they want, you never have to worry about what you want. Loved the talk today. Loved everybody on it. Love you, Paul, and back to you.
Wow. Boy, I'm left speechless, everyone. This is a true mastermind. I feel my thoughts feel stimulated. I feel elevated. I feel like I have a better understanding of vision. I feel like I have a better understanding of where we're moving as a group. You know, Doug Fran talked about when he talked about how he was sitting in that shop with his mother listening to the negative auto-suggestion of the news. Folks, that's the world. The world is right now engaged in negative auto-suggestion. And so when we talk about having a vision for ourselves, having a vision for the people that we're endeavoring to influence, having a vision for our companies, having a vision for earning more income, having a vision for this call, we're talking about combating the literal forces out there in the world that are dragging everyone else down. So this stuff is big. This stuff is major. It is about so much more than earning a little extra money, winning some financial freedom for ourselves. We're engaged in one of the greatest battles I think ever to be fought, folks. So my vision is expanded. I hope yours as well. Thanks for everyone's comments today. Let's get out there and make it a tremendous day. Move forward with faith and vision and purpose and action on your plan, and trust that you will be guided by infinite intelligence. If you continue to seek, you will be given the pieces to the puzzle that you're endeavoring to put together. Stay the course, my friends. I love you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.